We've got a session now right before we break for lunch at 12:15. I'll come up with some other announcements after that. And I'm going to steal a word that Deb from the BBC had, which was squiggly, because our next two presenters, we have all three been very squiggly inside the First Up organization. So at one point years ago, we were all on the same team at the company, and then all went to different teams within the company, and then Brittany and I are now on the same team again, but a different team than before, and then Kinsley's part of product. So even within First Up, we have very squiggly experiences, which is great. But they're gonna next come up. Brittany Barhite, Kinsley Wigginton, are gonna lead you through the journey mapping that Mike talked about. And we do want this to be interactive for you. Where are Charlie and Baloo? Back there. They are our professional mic runners. They have been training for the past 6 weeks to run mics around the room. We do want you to use microphones. We say in our organization, the microphones are not for you. You might think you're really loud. The microphones aren't for you. They're for the person who can't hear you very well. So if you want to participate, just raise your hand. They will run the mic to you. We want this to be as interactive as possible. I will now pass it over to Kinsley and Brittany. Round of applause, please.
All right. Hello. Thank you so much, everyone. As mentioned, Brittany Barhite, excited to be here today to talk about Journey to Joy, Crafting an Employee Journey. Do you want to introduce yourself, honey?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Kinsley Wigginton, Director of Product Operations. Excited to be here.
So we're going to dive deeper into what Nicole, Cheryl, Mike talked about this morning. We talked about elevating employee experience and the benefits of that. So Mike talked about unclumping those customers or employees and then creating an employee experience. And how many of you are communicators in this room? Okay, a lot of you. Any HR professionals? Couple. Okay, IT. All right, good to know. So for the HR, there's a couple of you in here, have been using employee engagement surveys for years, right? I always say communicators, IT, need to grasp on to that data that's already being collected to get yourself a seat at the table. Because as Mike mentioned, the making your employee experience exponentially better sees better retention, less sick days, better business productivity, better customer service. It's endless. And so instead of just measuring clicks or email open rates, which we all know typically are around 25%, look at employee engagement numbers, because positive communication correlates to employee engagement. So the question for today is, how do we elevate that employee experience? And one of the ways to do that is through employee journey mapping. So in front of you or on your chairs, you are given a worksheet. You're welcome to take notes or take that back with you. And also a persona worksheet, which will help unclump those employee customers, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes. But also after this session, we will email you our 5-step guide to employee journey mapping, so that way you go back, you have a tactical exercise to start doing with your company to elevate the employee experience. So before we go into those 5 steps, I want to start with employee journey mapping. What exactly is that? Because that might be new to many of you. As was discussed this morning, organizations are already doing this with their customers. They're charting the customer journey, what it looks like to them. You can do the same for your employees. So what employee journey mapping is, taking a look at, it's a design thinking process, a holistic viewpoint of what happens during all the moments that matter, from hire to retire. What are their communications, their meetings, their transactions? What is that like for them? Oftentimes, it's done with sticky notes and a big whiteboard. We're going to have you talking with one another to brainstorm so that you have a holistic viewpoint of everything that happens during that phase. Now, this could sound overwhelming, right? How could I possibly know all the employee journey maps throughout my organization? That's why we have boiled this down to 5 steps, and we're going to start with step number 1, so I'll pass to Kinsley, aligning a cross-functional team.
Yeah, thanks, Brittany. So this is where we get interactive. We wanted to set everything up, but really this is about hearing from all of you and really talking through this and finding out ideas. So let's start at step 1. Really think about some of those employee journeys that you might have. We've talked about onboarding. We've talked about parental leave. We've talked about bereavement. There are so many different journeys that employees take. Me personally, about a year ago, I went through a little bit of a re-onboarding. I've been with First Up for 6 years, but I joined the product team. I've never been on the product team before, so I had to go through a bit of an onboarding again. What are some of those different journeys that maybe you have experienced or that your employees have experienced? Now take a step back. Who needs to be in the room to have a dream team to really be able to map out your employee journey? It is not just about communications. It's about what do they need to be doing? What information do they actually need? How can we bring the dream team together? So what we're gonna ask you to do, talk to your neighbor, turn to your neighbor, have a 1 to 2 minute conversation about what are the different departments within your organization that need to be part of this dream team in order to really make a journey successful. So take about a minute, and then we're gonna have about 3 or 4 people kind of say who those departments might be. All right, hopefully, can everyone hear me?
We like the conversation.
Yeah, I'm okay with conversation.
You just gotta do the shh.
I like that, like an ocean.
Oh wow, that worked. All right, okay. Great conversation. I love that, you know, people are talking and we're hearing things. So, like I said, all right, I want to hear a few. If you have your dream team, who is sitting in that room with you starting to help build out an employee journey for you? Anyone who wants to start?
We need a volunteer. Here we go. Mike coming
away. There we go.
Away.
Perfect. I think we needed prizes.
So we said kind of some of the typical functions that you would expect. So communications, HR, IT are some of our givens. We also said a representative from legal is someone we perhaps might not want to have in the room, but we probably should. We also said potentially facilities based on where they might be sitting, because we want to have, you know, if they're a new coworker, we'd like to have them included in that process of where do you go sit, right? Post-COVID, our in-office environments are very different than they were before. And then the one other thing we said was a newer coworker who may have just gone through this process of joining, because through these functions, we may think of some of these similar milestones, but somebody who may have just gone through that could say, yeah, this was a little less important, but this felt like a big gap to me. So whatever function they may sit in, just someone who has recently gone through that experience.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I love this. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I love the idea of bringing in someone who's been through the experience recently, right? We heard a lot of this has to do with involving your employees and really hearing from them. So love that. Great idea. And yes, legal, I know. Might not always necessarily want them in the room, but they need to be there. So anyone else? Other additions?
Exactly the same kind of people in the room, but the one addition was training. So just to make sure that, you know what it's like, sometimes you join and they bombard you with 10 training courses on the same day. Yeah. So it's about ensuring that the people get the right training at the right time.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example.
Yeah. Training's fantastic. Yeah, great example too. So thank you. So I think we're at the point we've aligned that cross-functional team, right? We've got our dream team in place for who we know needs to have a voice when we are starting to do these employee journeys. So I'm gonna pass it back over to Brittany.
So step number two, you met these personas this morning, these employees, Jane, Miranda, and Adam, but they're great examples of your employee personas. Identifying what's a day in the life for them, what are their likes and interests, what channels do they use? I'm not gonna give them all away because we're gonna have you discuss this, but this is the phase where before you dive into creating the employee journey map, you understand them better. Marketers already do this. They go and take a look at who their customers are through persona worksheet, which we gave you as an idea to kind of start getting your brainstorming going, but this is where you take a look at what does Jane experience look like versus Adam's experience. And so what we want you to do now, and maybe meet a new person, is turn to each other and think about Adam. Let's say Adam's starting at your company, he's a deskless worker, so that makes it a little different. What type of persona characteristics would you include? So take about 2 minutes and discuss how would you start identifying and using that persona worksheet to find out what Adam's characteristics and likes and dislikes are. So meet somebody new and have that conversation. I see some of you filling out the worksheet, so that's great. You're good to go.
Should I do your shh?
I like that shh, like a wave. All right, I see a lot of great conversations, so that's awesome. I saw even some people filling out the worksheet. So does anyone want to start talking about what they discussed for Adam's persona, some things that would be good to know when mapping an employee journey? Oh, I see hands raised. Perfect. Keep them up till the mic comes your way. All right.
Yeah, I guess it's not really a persona as such, but it's like literally what have they physically got, like hardware-wise? Do they have a phone? Can they use it? If not, is there a place where there's a screen? So understanding, are these guys reachable? Because obviously if they're not, then that's a real challenge. But just knowing that as opposed to their personality and things like that.
That still goes part of the persona. Yeah, definitely. What technology do they use? How do they use it? I think that's a great example. Right in front of you.
So can you hear? Oh, there we go. Cool. So we broke it down, sort of some geography things. So where they are in the world, like region, country, office. Where they are in the org structure, so their function, their team, their job family. If you can get it out of your company, D&I data, gender, sex, age, all those protected characteristics that are really hard to get but really useful. Responsibility, are they leaders, managers, budget holders, and size of budget, all those kinds of things. And some performance management stuff, so how their performance rating is, their potential, those kinds of things.
That was great for 3 minutes. Very thorough. Nice work, team.
I got to say, the one that jumped out at me is I love the responsibilities one, because that actually is going to really contribute to what does this person need to know and when do they need to know it. If I'm a new manager, I need to not only learn about the new company that I'm joining, but I also need to know about what the expectations are of me as a manager in that company. So I thought that was really interesting too.
Any other ones that people had on that haven't been mentioned yet?
Hi, I'd add one around kind of motivation. So I think thinking of this persona, the motivations and pressures might be different from an office worker. So their motivation is around completing their day job, or if they're a driver, getting all their deliveries done, etc. So I think for this one specifically, the hard truth for especially comms people is that we're disturbing these people from doing their day job every time we try to talk to them. So we have to think of it in that way. You know, they're not sitting there waiting to receive these messages. We're disturbing them. They want to do their day job. They want to hit their targets. And we're actually a little bit of a pain because we keep sending them stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I think one thing with that, I was a former customer and I worked in manufacturing. And so we always were thinking about how do we not disturb them? We want their productivity on the line. And also they only can get on their phone or kiosk so often. And when I went and did focus groups with them, I found out they really cared about the up and down time. So we started integrating that into our communications and what was for lunch. So I was like, if I can get them in to see what's for lunch and then see the other boring but important stuff, that was, you know, that's kind of, it's great to have those conversations about what's needed to do their job and what are they interested in. Anyone else to add there? And I think it was brought up earlier for step number one, this is another great place to include your persona. Have those conversations, have a focus group, find out what's going on. As I mentioned, when I worked in manufacturing, we found out they weren't using any of the templates we sent their way because they liked it. Their own manufacturing office was like their own culture, their own organization. And so we had to accept that, even if I thought it wasn't quite as pretty, but then understand their needs and how we could help support them. Another question I often get asked, we just did a webinar on this topic a couple weeks ago, is how many personas should I do? We're a large organization. I've worked everywhere with 40 people to 19,000 in 33 countries. I would say start with 3 to 5, at least start there. Maybe there's a deskless, a hybrid, maybe you more in the seasonal worker area. Take a look at your hybrid in the US and maybe the Europe and APAC is different. But start around 3 to 5 to get those categories to get started. That's usually what I answer for that. Any other thoughts on that one? Okay, now we've actually made it to the employee journey mapping.
Awesome. Okay, so we have our dream team. We know a relatively a good makeup of our employees, right? We pretty much know kind of the groupings that we need to have here. So now let's really sit down and think about what are some of those common journeys within your organization that we need to start mapping. So it's really easy to tackle the cyclical, the reoccurring ones, the onboarding, the retirement. What do people need to know to go through retirement, parental leave? It's really easy to do those. Definitely, let's talk about those because those are going to have some of the biggest impact throughout our entire organization. But what are some of the other ones? I gave an example. I kind of gave one away. I call it a little bit of a re-onboarding. It's I don't necessarily need to know about the company culture. I've been with First Step for quite some time. What I need to know about is my department culture now, right? I need to understand my responsibilities within my department. So what are some of those different other journeys that we can start thinking about so that, again, we can get to that hyper-personalization for each employee as they are moving along in their journey, whether they've been with us for less than a year or they've been with us for 15 years? Go ahead. Discuss. Every time I'm doing that, I'm feeling like Deb's word of her favorite sound and the waves crashing. Like I just have that in my mind when I start to do that. So, okay, let's hear them. What are some of the employee journeys that you all have started to think about that you might want to consider mapping out? Oh, got one over here.
Thank you. We put mergers and acquisitions, so we're a business that grows massively through acquisition. Yeah. And there's sort of two ways to it. So those people who are joining us through acquisition, so what that comms plan looks like for them or journey looks like for them, but also for other people in the business when there is an acquisition, how are we, kind of, we could map that journey through for that as well. So
yeah.
Kind of a push and pull effect.
Yeah, great. It's a fantastic one. I think, when Cheryl was up here earlier and kind of showing the different way that you can build out an employee journey, you think about there's some messages very early on when it comes to a merger or acquisition that everybody needs to know about, whether you're part of the existing firm or the acquired or the merging firm. And then at some point, those diverge, right? So how can we make sure everyone is getting that consistent messaging easily? So that's mergers and acquisition, fantastic one. Anyone else? Yeah.
Uh-oh. So one of the things we've started looking at ACCO is about well-being. So we have sort of global versus local. So where we've got sort of global initiatives that employees are going through and then sort of branching, looking at sort of local providers. So what we have in the UK is very different to what we have in the US and other locations. But we can actually start mapping that through. So we're taking people through the journey to improve well-being, and that's based, again, on data.
Yeah, it's a great one. Well-being is a great one, too.
And a lot of those resources are typically underutilized. I remember when my dad passed my old company, I forgot they sent out an email 2 years earlier on EAP. So if you can find a way to give them that information at the right time, that makes a huge difference. You're not going to be thinking about it at that moment. Mm-hmm. Where'd the mic go to? Have another idea? Great.
From our side, our business has lots of seasonal staff that come during peak season, so the onboarding journey will be very different for them. They already have the knowledge of the industry, so that their training will be completely different the
Absolutely.
Way we onboard them every year. So that one.
It's a great example.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, you want to throw some of those up there? Yeah, I think we've talked about some of these. Pre-boarding. We talked a lot about the 28% that don't necessarily even show up on the first day because maybe they're a little bit anxious. That pre-boarding is a really important one. So how can we make sure we make them feel part of our organization before they've even really started? Onboarding, we've talked about that. Life events, celebrations, I have to admit. I kind of forget sometimes when my anniversary at First Up is, but great. Guess what? We have a journey that reminds me on the exact day, and then I'm able to share that out onto LinkedIn to say, hey, it's my 6-year anniversary. Promotions, performance, training. So I thought it was interesting. Earlier, the group we wanted in the room was training, but there's also a way to then use journeys when it comes to making sure people are completing their training. So actually, we're getting it on both sides as far as that goes. So.
Absolutely. And along with these cyclical ones, I think Kensley said at the beginning, think about those gaps, unique to your organization that can be helped with improved journeys and communications. So you've come together as a team and mapped this holistic whiteboard, sticky notes, the whole journey. Now let's take onboarding, for example. You might have sent a new hire gift, a CEO video, they fill out a ton of paperwork, they go to an IT training. There's lots of different pieces of this that's holistic. not all of it's communications, but a lot of it is. And so this is where you go a deeper level down. You had everything in that holistic viewpoint. If you drop off a t-shirt at their desk. But what exactly are those communications? And many of you are communications in the room. This is where you start to chart those out. Where does it happen and when? What stakeholders are involved? How can you improve them based on your personas? Maybe it's a quick video, maybe it's an infographic, but you chart those all out and decide what exists, what can be improved, and how can I make those communications? So a good example is we like to what we call drink our own champagne. At First Up, we were using dog fooding, but we like champagne better. And so if we're gonna be an employee experience platform, we have to do this right. So 2 years ago, I worked with the various stakeholders to improve our onboarding experience. And out of that, we came up with 17 different communications that we decided should happen within the first 90 days that we could automate at scale. So before we have you talk about it, I wanna go back to a key point that Cheryl mentioned this morning, because you might be thinking, how can I know when Jane, Miranda, Kensley starts or when their anniversary is? I can't possibly send a notification to every one of these employees. It's very true. We need to personalize at scale. And this is where journey automation comes into play and using your technology to what I like to call set it and forget it. So we made these 17 communications at First Step 2 years ago. Do I audit them quarterly with the right stakeholders to make sure the content's correct? Yes, but I don't have to know when everyone starts, and it's still personalized because the system's smart enough to know that they started. It can target to Adam at the right time and the right channel. He's in EMEA, he checks it on this day, it's a push notification. And so that's part of the conversation. As you chart out these communications, you also think, how do I do this at scale? Because I can't possibly send 10,000 emails a day. That doesn't make sense. And so what I want you to do when you break to discuss is think through what communications, pick a journey. We could do onboarding since that's what we've been talking about. What are some communications you think should be included in those 90 days? And I'm excited to hear if some unique ones pop up from your own experiences. So take a couple minutes to talk through what are some of those communications that are needed in onboarding. Ideas. We're coming back. How many of you have had a really bad onboarding experience? All right, lots. We did a funny video once for an onboarding session, and people literally said their boss didn't show up, so forgot they were coming. So I know we all have horror stories. So what communications could improve the onboarding experience? Who has some good ideas? I heard talking, so.
Creative ones are good, too. What are some of the ones that you're like, oh, I didn't even think about that? But yes.
Comes the mic.
So we were talking about the actual site. So things like, are there car parking spaces? Is there an EV charger? Can I use that on my first day? What's available? Is there a canteen? What's the menu? You know, things like that, that actually, when you get there, you don't have that anxiety of going, actually, I have no idea about the office. I've been to one room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Love that.
Thank you. We had a couple of ideas. One was some kind of meet the team mechanism before you actually joined. So whether the team had to share a 30-second video or you just did it from their profile that already exists, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then post-joining, whether there's a bit of surveying that then dictates the journey from there. So kind of how was your onboarding today? What's the gap? What do you want to know about tomorrow? And then that drives the experience from there.
That's very cool. I love that idea. And I'm stealing that video idea. We do a pre-boarding slide deck, but I like the videos better for meet the team. See, that's a great idea. What else? Back up here. Up here.
We also said a list of acronyms or business lingo that's specific to us. Which I think would help reduce a lot of confusion for new employees, and probably a lot of internal employees as well that are with us for a long time.
That's a great one. We tend to use lots of acronyms and lingo, so that's helpful. Love it. Anyone else have a desire to show? We got another one back here.
I feel like there's a part of the journey that's been missing from this conversation. It's post-employees, so alumni.
Yeah.
Even at onboarding, we share what they can do as alumni and what their network will be like once they leave the company, in the hope that they come back as boomerangs, they come back as clients, or they just become ambassadors.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, they refer. I love that idea. It's a great journey, offboarding, but getting them as ambassadors as well. Great suggestions. Yeah. Yes?
Hi, I think at Tesco, the landscape's quite confusing when you first come in with all of our digital touch points. So I think there's something that I joined Tesco 13 years ago, so this may happen already, I don't know. But something I think is really important for someone who's coming into the business is what are the key priorities for the business right now? What is the business strategy? So as they start to learn, they can quickly start to connect the dots around, we're doing that because we want to be able to achieve X and Y. Mm. And without that, it's quite a confusing landscape, I suppose, of why we're doing that, and lots of questions will probably come out of the back of it if you don't know the top line strategy.
That's a great idea. Yes, integrate your goals and strategy right away, because after the 90 days, they'll probably make goals, but they might have joined in July, way after they were announced, or right, or no goals. Or to your point, how do you help them see why they're a part of the team and feel excited to be integrated and align their goals with that? So no, great. Great examples. So you've charted these employee communications, and now you've got on to the fifth step, because it's never done, right?
It's never done. So we've done a lot of the setup, right? We've gotten our things in place. We're pretty confident in what we're doing, but let's all be honest. We always need to be iterating, and we always really need to put a focus on data, like making those decisions based on the data that we're seeing. So now that we've done all this for Adam, how are we going to be able to measure Adam's satisfaction with his onboarding or just his overall employee journey to this moment? So a few minutes, how are you going to measure? This is going to be ongoing, by the way. This isn't a one-time thing. So how are you going to think about measuring Adam's satisfaction?
It's your last little session before lunch, so.
Yeah, so get the fuel going here.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, just a few more slides and thoughts between us and lunch. And I think some announcements from Chuck, but he'll be quick. All right, so how did we talk about measuring Adam's satisfaction? What are some of the things we're looking at to make sure what we're doing is successful? Or where do we need to make some changes? Ooh, yeah. Coming up. Here we go.
One of the things that we had shared was around, I was going to say my loud northern voice, I can't hear it drumming, I can now. One of the things that we'd shared was around actually not just the data, but also about that peer-to-peer conversation with this group of colleagues. They take support and guidance and listen to information typically from the line manager, but also from their peers. So it's about having that peer feedback mechanism to be able to just, to listen and to hear and to give them that voice so that they're comfortable. And so I think it's not necessarily data and numbers, mm-hmm. but it's also about having that ability to listen and make sure that the line managers, supervisors have got the ability to be able to feedback the truth mm-hmm. of what's shared. And for them to kind of understand that that is happening, and for the business to have the mechanisms to then act on what they're hearing.
Yeah, that's a really great way of bringing together kind of that qualitative and quantitative data. I mean, there's different data points. Some of it obviously is in numbers. Some of it is in, let's just understand what we're hearing and be able to really take that in. That's a great one. Love it. What else? All right. I know we got lunch coming. So, all right. Some of them think about, obviously we have the onboarding surveys, pulse polls. I think we mentioned earlier, what are some of the things, how was your day today? What else do you need to understand? Comms engagement, understanding kind of where we are with retention. There are so many data points that we can really take a look at that tell us a story about our employees and where they really are in their journey. So as always, this is always ongoing. This is something we need to constantly be iterating on and understanding how do we get a lot of that really good data. Okay,
So we took you through the five steps very, very quickly. As Brittany mentioned, you have the handouts. We will also be emailing these out, but hopefully you can take these back to your organization and start to think about some of those employee journeys that you might want to start mapping. Before we do, I just want to ask a question. Did anyone have that moment where they're like, oh, I didn't think about that, or what was an aha moment someone possibly had?
And it could be from the entire morning.
An aha. The entire morning. It doesn't just have to be us.
And the employee experience. What's an aha moment so far? Any takeaway? Anyone have anything that popped up? I see thinking. Oof. Anyone have one example? Oh, we got one.
We got one. Thank you.
I really like this term customer communications. I thought that was a good one.
Customer. That's a good one.
And then you had one as well?
Mine was more, aha, everyone's in the same boat. You know, kind of not alone in this.
Yeah. Oftentimes it's the commonality that we realize. Got one more over here. Yeah.
Hi there. It sounds simple, but I think it was connecting some of the employee offers to their situations and their moments and the benefits that they're perhaps not taking advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, great point.
Another one back here. Now we're getting lots of ahas. I love it.
Yeah.
The chance we all have to play a part in our employee journey and the fact that we actually have amazing jobs. That's really cool.
That's right.
It's exciting.
We do.
Yeah. It's awesome. Fantastic. All right.
Okay, one more.
Oh, we got my, I'm sorry. I'm looking.
I have to say it's squiggly.
It is now going to be the word of the day, isn't it?
Absolutely. So. I'm going to pop back one, maybe. I gave away my... Well, that's all right. We can give away the big reveal. So, Kensley mentioned that we have a five-step guide coming your way, but hot off the presses, live today, so you're the first to see it, is our EX content library. And some of the journeys we talked about today, you can click into them, and you can, it's like, for example, onboarding, you'll see your observations. We've done some of the hard work for you. You can go in and you can find a template for each of these, for all the different journeys, copy text, and we have guidance on there. And so I'm gonna pop up a QR code. It's also going to be emailed to you if you wanna check out the EX content library. No matter how you write or use your communications, we have great examples there based off of journeys, and we'll keep adding to it. You all gave me new ideas for journeys, so it's fantastic. On top of that, you'll get our journey planner. We talked about step number four, those communications. Many of you are communicators. Many of you can play a role in making that so much better for the employee experience. We're giving you a, whether you use Excel or Google Sheets, you can download that. It's an awesome worksheet with 11 different journeys on it and different communications through the stakeholders channels. It can help you start really thinking through those. So at least when you can go back, you can get started. So thank you so much for your awesome participation. You can come find us during lunch to talk more journeys. And I'm excited for your all journey as you explore the idea of the employee experience and employee journey mapping.